RNZ Pacific News, Malolo Soifua, I'm Lydia Lewis. A dengue fever outbreak has been declared in Samoa. There have been at least 80 cases in April so far, with the majority of cases in the mainland. The World Health Organization describes dengue fever as a viral infection that spreads from mosquitoes to people. Samoa's Director General of Health, Alec Ekeroma, says there's now a national campaign and cleanup to rid hotspots of mosquitoes.
The numbers have increased consistently for 3 weeks now. So now we have more than 250 cases in total. We haven't had any deaths yet compared to the previous outbreaks, and we're wanting to avoid that.
Five people died in the last dengue outbreak in Samoa between 2017 and 2018. At the beginning of 2018, there were almost 3,000 cases of dengue. The police chief in the autonomous Papua New Guinea region of Bougainville says hundreds of high-powered firearms, allegedly stolen from weapons disposal sites, are still in use today. 4 years after the signing of the peace agreement in 2001, the UN had overseen a process of voluntary weapons disposal with the aim of ensuring the safety of communities. The Post Courier reports those guns were eventually to be destroyed. Speaking during this week's arms control workshop in Port Moresby, Francis Tokura said only about 400 firearms were surrendered and disposed when the UN conducted this exercise. He says many of these were removed from the disposal bins and remain in use. The first of three reports of an investigation into the Maui wildfires response has been released almost 9 months on from the disaster. It lays out a comprehensive timeline of the devastating wildfires which destroyed the town of Lahaina, killing 101 people. Fire Safety Research Institute lead investigator Derek Alkinos says the investigation gives a forensic study into the fires.
We also were on site with our team walking the streets of Lahaina, documenting in detail the loss that was suffered, the structural damage, and identify where, you know, answer the question of why some structures survived and some did not. We wanted to understand the areas where lives were lost, understand the fire's progression through those areas.
The newly appointed regional director of the World Health Organization has visited abused children under the care of the Samoa Victim Support Group. Dr. Saya Maupiukala was in Apia, Samoa for the 15th annual Pacific Heads of Health Forum. Dr. Piukala commended the children for their resilient spirits and efforts in rising above the challenges they faced. He told the kids to ambitiously pursue any career they aspire to in the future. Samoa Victim Support Group is a recent recipient of the WHO Healthy Islands Recognition Award for its farm-to-table, garden and cooking project. Samoa's Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment has launched a new environmental campaign. Samoa Cares stands for Climate Action, Resilience and Enhancement of Samoa and aims to educate people about better environmental practices. Minister Toe Ole Sulu Cedric Schuster says there are two main components, a media explainer campaign and a venture with a Peace Corps teacher volunteer program, taking education into schools.
Samoa is a beautiful island country. We take great pride in our land and culture, but this ever-changing world is destroying our home and paradise. And it's time to take responsibility in protecting and safeguarding our environment.
He says the primary focus during the initial phase is to stop littering. The Prime Minister of New Zealand says questions about public consultation on the potential involvement in AUKUS Pillar 2 are way too premature. The opposition is accusing the coalition government of a major shift in foreign policy in its approach to the military pact. It follows Foreign Affairs Minister Winston Peters and US Secretary of State Antony Blinken last week saying there are powerful reasons for New Zealand to engage with AUKUS. Christopher Luxon was asked if his government would commit to consulting the electorate before making any decisions.
In opposition, I tried to be as bipartisan as I could with the previous government, and we've maintained the same position, which is that we're open to exploring options within Pillar 2 under AUKUS. We've got a long way to go. There is no time frame around that. Our officials will start to engage in the coming months and over the course of the year. We've got a long way to go, so it's all premature. Yeah.
Christopher Luxon says his government's position on AUKUS Pillar 2 is the same as that of the last administration, with New Zealand still at the exploratory stage with partners. The Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will mark Anzac Day next week while in Papua New Guinea, attending a dawn service at the Isurava Memorial Site on the Kokoda Track. The Post Courier says the visit is not an official state trip, but will be given full respect and honour. Mr Albanese and his PNG counterpart James Marape will walk part of the historic track to honour the fallen soldiers of World War II. The Kokoda campaign was a pivotal battle in the Pacific theatre, with the Allied forces stopping Japan from reaching Port Moresby. All of Australia's state and territory health ministers have declared support for the federal government's proposed changes to vaping. The proposal would see vapes only made available in pharmacies to those with prescription from their GP. In a joint statement, the health ministry says vapes have been used to recruit a new generation into nicotine addiction. They say vapes should be better regulated and no longer sold at convenience stores. In world news, a resolution to grant full UN member status to a state of Palestine has been vetoed by the United States at a meeting of Security Council. 12 members voted in favour of the resolution, including three America allies, France, Japan and South Korea. The UK and Switzerland abstained. The US Deputy Ambassador to the UN, Robert Woods, defended Washington's decision to veto the resolution.
The United States continues to strongly support a two-state solution. This vote does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood, but instead is an acknowledgement that it will only come from direct negotiations between the parties.
Hamas has strongly condemned America's position. Meanwhile, more than 100 students have been arrested after police cleared a camp of pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia University in New York City. Some students shouted shame at officers in riot gear as they removed them in buses. The city's mayor, Eric Adams, says New Yorkers had every right to express their feelings, but not the right to harass others and, as he puts it, spread hate.
Columbia University students have a proud history of protests and raising their voices. Students have a right to free speech, but do not have a right to violate university policies and disrupt learning on campus.
Columbia University's president had earlier promised to crack down on protests linked to the Gaza conflict. In sport, the NRL, the Melbourne Storm defeated the Roosters 18-12 in Sydney last night. FBC Sports says wing Xavier Coates scored the winning try. Tied 12-all, Coates picked up a rolling ball, beat three defenders and scored 6 minutes from full time. The win sees the Storm take second spot in the points table. The Solomon Islands have secured a 6-0 win against American Samoa and a place in the OFC Under-16 Men's Championship. Today's win in Nuku'alofa confirms the team's spot for the Tahiti event in July. OFC Media says the side led 3-0 at halftime and added three more goals in the second half to cruise to victory. Solomon Islands defeated Papua New Guinea and Tonga in their earlier matches. And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.